Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Sean Salisbury Show right here on the Believe Network. We got a ton to catch up on. We had a fun Masters weekend with Sunday being crazy because of all the rain. Some of the third round got pushed into Sunday. Then we had a battle between a lot of people. I think a lot of people thought it was going to be two guys, and it ended up being a lot of guys trying to get in the mix, including old lefty Phil with just a phenomenal Sunday. We'll get into that. The NFL draft is 16 days away, I believe, if my math is correct. So that's coming up quick. Maybe that team there in Houston, Sean, that you know I've been very critical of my entire time there in Houston with you. And are they going to make another mistake? Are they going to? We'll ask that question. And we just had a top three pick from the 2020 draft be traded for a fifth round pick. I'll tell you who that is in a little bit. But before we get into all that, we're all brought to you by Bet Online.
Yeah, we sure are, Segs. And Bet Online is still your number one source for all your betting and college basketball, you know, all of it, right? NBA is playoffs started. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at Bet Online. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at Bet Online. And it's betonline.ag. Updated odds for everything from live games, conference championships, right through to the Final Four, which you saw, the championship game, and beyond next season as well. BetOnline is your college basketball headquarters, but also you can bet golf and basketball and football and all the other sports that are on there at your service. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign in and reduce some costs because you're going to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use your promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your bonus. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts.
All right, Sean, you mentioned NBA. I want to jump on something real quick. We got the NBA playoffs starting, as you mentioned. We got the play-in games start tonight, I think, or tomorrow night. I can't remember. I'm not really into the NBA right at this second. But something interesting happened this past weekend. Final game of the season. Dallas Mavericks playing for a spot in that play-in tournament. And they rest all their guys. They sit, they tank. I mean, blatant tank. I mean, this is as blatant as we've ever seen it. They were going to give up a pick if they won this game to the New York Knicks, most likely, and went into the play-in tournament. Now, most likely, they are going to be able to keep their pick, or at least the odds are in their favor. They'll be able to keep their top 10 pick because a pick that was supposed to go to New York was – top 10 protected. And I don't know what the league should do about it. I have my own thoughts, including taking this pick away from them, because you can't just have teams doing this blatantly. Like, they're fighting for a playoff spot. There's a difference between you got two games left and you're in the third spot trying to get into the second or even get into the first best odds of getting the number one pick. But they're fighting for a playoff spot. They made a huge move to get Kyrie Irving, and then they sit their guys, including Kyrie. And it was just, they made a mockery of it against the Bulls, and the Bulls went out and won, and now they're playing in the play-in tournament, and the Dallas Mavericks are not.
This isn't how it was set up to be. It's Bush League, and you and I both know it. It's horseshit. Okay? The things that Adam Silver and the NBA are trying to fight against, right? Play-in tournaments, mid-season tournaments next year, which really isn't midseason. What's it, December or whatever it is?
Yeah, Six? It's stupid.
It's an early January. Excuse me. It's an early season tournament. Listen, I get if the rules allow you to tank, it's the root, then go for it. This isn't how it was supposed to be, and I don't want to hear somebody say, well, the letter of the law, the bottom line is you had a chance to be in a competitive situation, and if you didn't want to do that, you wouldn't have gone out and traded for Kyrie Irving. It's gone to hell in a handbasket. It hadn't worked out for the Mavericks, and that's why. And I'm a former season ticket holder of the Mavericks. I love Mark Cuban. I love the city. I love everything about it. But this is bullshit. And this is not the way it's supposed to be, because you're basically sending a message that unless you're one of the basic six teams, and you know what? Do whatever you want down the stretch. Who does this? Who does this? Because you don't want to lose the pick and the asset.
Right.
Maybe others would. But I think this is fine. I think you could hit somebody with a huge fine. And the only way, Segs, you know this, athletes and front offices get affected by slaps on the hand. They don't. They get affected when you take assets away and hit them with big money. Exactly. That's the only way. So if Adam Silver wants to set back and say, well, you know what, there's nothing I can do, then none of us should be bitching about the fact, and just play it safe all the time and make sure you get the asset. It also tells you that the Mavericks know that they ain't good enough to win the whole thing. That's also what it tells you. So,
exactly.
And a lot of us, this is a team that was Western Conference Finals last year, Segs, right? Western,
yeah.
And lost in the Western Conference Finals to Golden State, who mm-hmm. eventually went on to win it. So to me, this reeks of, not only is it shady, it was obvious. I understand, you know, the teams that are playing for Victor and trying to get the pick, you're one of the final three, you're 14%, you're one of the, I get it, because the rules don't prevent you from doing that. But in this case, this is not how the rule was set up. They should be a heavy fine, a suspension. And if you really want to make an impact, dock them the pick and give it away mm-hmm. anyway. If you really want, if Adam Silver wants to stop this shit now, do it.
Yep.
And apologize not once. Say, when we're in a competitive situation, battling to be in the top 10, you don't do this. I thought it was weak, and I think as much to my, I hate to say this because I like, you know, I understand, but I don't like it. It should be a big fine, and I'm not so sure that I wouldn't dock him the pick or give it to the Knicks anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so, like you said, Bush League is the perfect word for it. When you have a chance to make a playoff, I mean, imagine an NFL team having a chance to get that final wild card. And I know the NBA and NFL are a little different in terms of, you know, if you're the 10th seed and you're in the play-in, your chances of winning the title are very, very slim. But it's still, you're in the playoffs. And like we mentioned, you went and got Kyrie. You're trying to build this. You're trying to show Luka that you're a serious organization. And then you're going to do that. I know it helps you because it gives you the asset and all that. And I understand tanking, and I don't want to say I'm a proponent of tanking, but I understand why teams do it now while it's legal. Like the Bears tanking this season with right. getting rid of all their money and getting the first pick, and then they were able to trade it and all that. We've seen it in baseball work with the Houston Astros, the Chicago Cubs, and so on. But there's a difference of teams tanking the entire season to be bad and kind of reset everything as an organization in terms of, but then also turn around and now you have a team tanking to miss the playoffs.
Well, look at this, Segs. A team like the Texans, who didn't have a chance to make the playoffs, they played to win the last game. Yeah. All they had to do was not throw the semi-Hail Mary into the end zone for a mm-hmm. touchdown, and they're picking first, and your Bears, it's a whole different saga. It is
completely
a whole
different situation right now
for minimum of three teams and maybe mm-hmm. more, depending yep. on if Arizona. I mean, that thing, the way it shaped the draft, and this is a team that knew they were weren't any good,
right?
And yet they weren't. It's not like they were had to win the last one to get the playoffs. They had to lose the last one, have the first pick, and control the draft,
right?
And they lost out on that. And now you're talking to me about an NBA team that is a position to make the playoffs and a superstar. Really two superstar players on their roster, one, you know, in Luka Doncic, and trying to figure out, get help for him, and can you keep him there? And you decide, let's rest him because we want that pick. You're telling me the asset means more than the competition? I don't like it, and I never will. I thought it was weak.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You mentioned the Houston Texans, the NFL draft. I said, talked about the Bears. We're just about 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from Thursday night will be the first round. A lot of rumblings that the Panthers are going to go CJ Stroud. I still believe it's Bryce Young. I think there's a little game of cat and mouse to see what the Texans are going to do at two, to see if, you know, the Panthers could even get the Texans to swap. I mean, I don't know what the Texans are thinking. I've heard rumors of the Texans not wanting CJ Stroud because of his agent, who his agent is, which is the same agent as Deshaun Watson.
David Mulugeta. Yeah.
And then there's talk. I've talked to some people that say the Texans like Anthony Richardson very much, and he could be a possibility at number two. What are your thoughts right there on those top two picks with the Panthers starting at one with just 2 weeks out? We've heard kind of both guys, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. Just talked to a friend earlier who said it could be Bryce Young. It's looking like, so who knows? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, Seg, let me ask you this. You, me, Frank Reich, D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio, all those involved. If I told you your career was on the line, that you could not work in sports again or coach a football team or be a GM of a football team ever again if this pick failed. Your mortgage was on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to hand in the card. If you're Carolina, whose name are you riding on it for the, I guess what I'd say when it comes to quarterback, that's why they traded up there. Mm-hmm. You may see Will Anderson's a bigger guarantee to be success
right.
in the league,
yes.
but I'm talking about a quarterback.
We're talking quarterbacks, yeah.
Right. Whose name are you putting on a card?
To me, it's been the same guy all along, all through the football season and everything. It's Bryce Young.
Agreed. So if I'm going down, I'm going down with the guy that I've seen has been the most productive and has everything I love except one thing. Okay, so he doesn't throw it through a car wash without getting it wet.
Right.
He can hit the car wash and, quite frankly, probably with some of that accuracy and playmaking skills, hit a few of the brushes that are hanging from it. But that doesn't mean that strong-arm guys aren't. But to me, it was never an issue in college, and he's 204 pounds, and the size.
Right.
I am not willing to risk my franchise because a guy's not 6'3". Now, if he was 6'2", because of optics and the way people talk and perception, it would be him and everybody else in this draft.
We'd be talking about Bryce Young like we do Caleb Williams.
That's
if he
exactly
was 6'2".
Right. That's exactly right. So I'm not willing to risk my mortgage or franchise on the fact. And if he fails, wouldn't be the first one. But if you're telling me pre-draft, okay, dude, whichever one your career is on the line, I'm taking the kid from Alabama. I'm going Bryce Young. That's me. I don't know Frank Reich. We've seen him. He likes big quarterbacks. Yep. But Reich, while successful in Philadelphia, missed on Wentz, missed on Rivers, missed on Ryan. When I say miss, they were at the end of their career, but they didn't have the success they wanted. And now he's at Carolina, who hasn't had success drafting quarterbacks. This is a huge pick. So when it all comes down to it, Frank Reich is there and the GM, and they're talking about what deal we're going to make. And I'm not saying C.J. Stroud's not going to be a star. Hell, Richardson and Levis may all be stars. But if they pose that question, you have to take Bryce Young.
Yes,
that's my opinion. And to me, C.J. Stroud, while a hell of a player, if I'm picking two, I'm drafting him second. Those are the first two picks, and they will be in this draft, in my opinion. The Mulugeta thing, I think you got to compartmentalize. I know with Mulugeta and Deshaun Watson, but I am not going to punish C.J. Stroud for the agent. The agent's job is to get his client the best deal, and they did. Watson wanted out, and he got out. And in truth, $230 million guaranteed. Not only did his agent do good for him, his agent did better by him than anybody's done. So exactly. Regardless of what you like, I don't think that would stop me from picking him. But if everything was equal and you liked one agent, didn't like that, maybe with Bryce Young and Stroud. But I don't think that's the deciding factor. So, Segs, those two are going with the first two. And to me, it's a no-brainer. Now, you mentioned Anthony Richardson. If, in fact, I think there could be movement at three with Arizona, Atlanta, Raiders.
Tennessee's the hot name. Tennessee, another one where they want to jump in
to get another quarterback and trump the Colts. And you get an extra asset next, especially depending on how far the team that jumps into it is, you're going to swap picks and get another first rounder more than likely for next year or what have you, unless somebody has two picks here. So Tennessee, and I think Arizona needs so many different players. They need assets. I would trade out of that thing as well if it was me. Now, Will Anderson sitting there at three, you're not going wrong drafting that cat, right? He's a great player. But it depends on how bad somebody covets the third quarterback, whether it's Richardson or Levis, to jump over the Colts. So I think there could be movement there. As far as Richardson, the only way I see the Houston Texans taking Anthony Richardson is not trading out of the two hole. They're not going to draft him in the two hole, in my opinion, is to trade out of the 12 hole, take Will Anderson second, and then all of a sudden in the 12 slot say we're going to trade this year in a second to try and move up to 10, and then hope that somebody doesn't jump in front of us and go up there to the Arizona Cardinals or Seattle or whoever, Tennessee, to get Anthony Richardson. To me, you have to be in the top 8 picks or you're not getting any of the 4 quarterbacks. That's my opinion. Right. But so that's the way I see Richardson. I think Richardson is going to be gone sooner than the 10th pick anyway. And I do not think that the Texans, once again, if you say 5 years from now, who's going to be the best? None of us know. We may think we do. We can guess. None of us do. But I know this, that if your career is on the line and you have to have instant production and who can't fail, you cannot take Anthony Richardson over Bryce Young or CJ. You just can't. 5 years from now, he may be the best. If the hype and the body type and the skill set lives up to, if he matches it with production sakes, he's going to be a phenomenal player in the league. But that's a big if right now. It may be better if he's coached well. Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, 1-2, and I don't care who's picking first or second.
Okay, and if you're the Texans, there's no way you can take Will Anderson and hope.
There is 12. A way. All right, Segs, what about this? Okay. Let's say you want to trade with Arizona.
Okay.
Would you take Will Anderson second? You call up Arizona Cardinals while the draft's going on and say, we'll give you the 12th pick this year for yours, and we'll give you our first rounder next year.
That's the way that I think.
And you get Will Anderson and Bryce Young for second and third.
But my question is, and why I asked it that way, because you said it perfectly of what I wanted. Arizona also gets a call from Tennessee, who's sitting at 11, and offers the same trade. So, you know, they call and say, okay, Houston's offering us 12 and a 1 and a 5, whatever.
Right.
Houston's like, yeah, we'll match that. We're one spot better. You're going to get it. And now if you're – and this doesn't happen until after Will Anderson. I mean, you would have to make that deal before the draft in terms of moving up to 3. I don't know if Arizona is going to do that because I think they can sit back and wait
right
till draft night and just say
– You're talking about if you're the Texans, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, where you can fleece somebody, let them get into a bidding war for the third spot and get an extra third round or second round pick right over and above the flip-flop and another number one. Absolutely.
So the only way I see the Texans going Will Anderson at 2 is if they can make a pre-draft trade with Arizona. But again, I just don't see Arizona making that trade until they are on the clock and they have everybody sitting there with their assets that they've offered up. And then they can say, okay, we're going to call this team and say, all right, here it is. Here's who's available. We could sit and take, you know, this guy or this guy.
Right. And they're in the same division, so bid against each other if you guys want to.
Right.
If you're the Texans and you wait on that and you were to draft Will Anderson second, now they know you got to give up more than you want to get.
Exactly. Because
you're going to have to fight somebody in the division. Segs with that, too. Think about this. If you're Arizona, they need edge rusher, offensive line, playmaking wide receivers. Excuse me. I like Connor, but there's a running back in this draft that we all know, Bijan Robinson. Think about this. If you're Arizona and get an extra first-round pick and another asset, and then you flip-flop with either Tennessee or Texans, if you're not – if you're sitting at 11, that's about the Bijan Robinson time, right? If you look – and if you know when Kyler comes back, you need – right. If you right. – some people like you and I, I'm not running backs.
Yeah, I would never
picks,
take him there, but I get – yes,
this is
that's
Arizona
where he's
we're
being
talking
talked
about. Right. This is Arizona. And so if you like Kyler, I need him to study more. I need him. Who's going to impact a game more? A 7-catch, 5-catch wide receiver or a 25-touch running back? Of course it's the running back, right? So if you're Arizona and they've done some weird-ass things over the course of their time, you say, well, let me trade down, get them in a bidding war, and if we think Bijan Robinson's better than Jackson Smith, Njigba as a first receiver or Jordan Addison, whoever – then we'll take that playmaker more to give Kyler Murray help. If you paid Kyler Murray all that money, somehow, some way, when he's right, you're going to have to get help for him, right? You just are. Wherever that help is and they need a lot of it, I see three being the movement, and if the Texans want both, it's the 12th pick, not the second pick, that you're going to have to be involved in with another first rounder next year.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And it's just, if Arizona says we're not trading until draft night and you're Houston, you can't risk taking Will Anderson at two if you still have not made the trade. Because if you do, and then they take Tennessee,
you risk losing them all.
Yeah, you risk losing them all. And you've lost two of those quarterbacks to your division rivals.
That's right.
Because Indy's sitting at four, and most likely they're taking a quarterback if it's Will Levis or Anthony Richardson.
And most think that three of the five worst teams in the league going in this year, that three of them are in the AFC South, mixed in with Arizona, and I'm trying to think, maybe Carolina, depending on how they do, or somebody else.
Tampa, your maybe. Five worst,
right. They could be, yeah. That could be a far fall after being Super Bowl champions 2 years ago.
Right. So then also looking at the draft, we just talked about it. There's a chance that Tennessee moves to three and we just see 1, 2, 3, 4, all four quarterbacks go in the first four picks.
If I think that's going to happen, Segs.
You got to be crossing your fingers hoping that, because then you either have Will Anderson or Jalen Carter sitting in your lap just saying, okay. And then if you're Detroit at six, you're saying, well, I could just take either one, whichever one Seattle doesn't take, I'll just take the other, or I can get the number one offensive lineman on the board. Right.
And depending on what Seattle does, they're sitting there, stay or move. You know, Pete Carroll likes long corners, you know, guys we're loaded with corners in this draft.
Yeah. Christian Gonzalez fits Seattle very well.
That's exactly right. So you've got players and with linemen and some edge rushers. Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech, right?
Yep.
Segs. And was it the Iowa? What's that kid's name?
Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah, Van Ness, right? So you've got some players, and Seattle will be sitting in I got five or six cats to choose from, but if there's activity in the three spot, it's to go up and get another quarterback. You may very well see one. If a quarterback goes third, a quarterback's going fourth as well. You and I both know that.
Yeah.
If it doesn't go third, it'll go fourth, and Richardson shows up somewhere, whether it's the Raiders or somebody else. And listen, I still don't think Atlanta's out of the woods on this. I just don't.
I agree.
I can't believe they would be if you're Arthur Smith and you know what you want. And another side thing about that Bijan Robinson thing, Segs, if Tennessee gets into the quarterback thing and they're rebuilding, are you going to dangle Malik Willis out there and say, listen, we don't think maybe we'll just dangle him out there as an asset. And if I'm Buffalo and you can't move around to get a Bijan Robinson, I don't know why you haven't been on the phone calling Tennessee and saying, we'll take Derrick Henry. I don't know why you wouldn't do that, because in December and cold weather, which is a lot of the season for them, and preventing Josh Allen from having to take the hits that Sean McDermott does not want him to take, this just elevates and milk the next 4 years all you can at 25 carries a game from the big horse and say, we're going all in. Here's a second or third round pick, whatever it is, and let's go play. Because I think that's a missing part to their offense, Segs. I do a consistent pound it with some wiggle back. And if Tennessee really is rebuilding, you know they got to be listening to assets, to how they can get more assets. You have to.
It definitely feels like Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, those are going to be the type of guys that could be traded on draft night, just like we saw A.J. Brown and some others traded in the past few years. So we could definitely hear their names come that night in terms of a trade. I want to ask you a question. As a former quarterback and someone who studies the game and coaches these quarterbacks, looking at the offensive line, there's this Skoronski kid from Northwestern who is built more like a guard, has the shorter arms under 32 or right at 32, and that's kind of the threshold that we always hear about teams having when it comes to offensive tackle versus offensive guard. Are you okay with him as an offensive tackle? Or do you want a guy like Paris Johnson Jr., who's 6'6", like 35 and three quarters arms, almost 36, and he's just huge and he can move, or Broderick Jones from Georgia, the left tackle, who's got almost 35-inch arms? Would you rather those guys be your tackles and take Skoronski as a guard, or are you okay with Skoronski since what he showed at Northwestern was being a very good left tackle? Because remember who he replaced, Rashawn Slater, who's now the Chargers left tackle, who was a first-round pick. And everybody said he might be a little too compact to be a tackle, and he's played really well.
Well, Segs, here's the advantage. And listen, those are four good ones you named. And I'm so intrigued with Jones that at Georgia as well, right? Mm-hmm. With the way they were coached. But I can tell you this, Skoronski, here's why I have no problem drafting him as a tackle. One is, if he, let's say we miss with him as a tackle, that we did because of his arm length, that he's more compact. Wow. I can move him inside, turn him into Quentin Nelson, right? Make him a pro mm-hmm. bowler. There are some that can't make that. So he knows, I'm imagining Skoronski, I'm a tackle, but you know what? With great teaching, I can be a guy that can play inside. So I don't have a problem with it. And Segs, when it comes to measurables, I'm so over it. Now, I'm not going to draft a 4'8 corner. Okay, right. In the fourth, but you know, let's be realistic. But I am willing to, because I look at Big Ten. There's a hell of a lot of good players in the Big Ten, and Skoronski was a dominant player at Northwestern, and he's going to get more reps when they're throwing every down and spread it out, yep. No matter where he goes. So, and throwing it a lot, I have zero issue, because what if he's got the long arms and he's tall and he doesn't have great feet. I'm just using any player as an example, and I try to move him and I can't move him. And so we're looking at a bus that's on four teams in six years. At least I know that if it doesn't work outside, and it just because of 3-inch difference in his reach. Now, listen, in the end, if you got good punch and you're not willing and you're willing to, and it's like anything, Seg's a golfer, right? If you're Jim Furyk and that big figure eight swing, yep. that none of us would use because we can't. But what does he always do at the point of impact? He squares the club face. I don't give a rat's ass how he gets to it. Because he can't. I care how I get to it, because it'd be different.
Right.
So if Skoronski can make up for technique-wise with shorter arms, put it this way. Is that going to be – now, if all things being equal, I'll take the bigger dude. But if I like one guy better, got good footwork, I got to have nasty in my offensive lineman. We know Skoronski's smart. Not saying the other guys aren't, but we're focused mm-hmm. on him right now. Three or fourth or fifth down the line. Now, if I'm looking and I have a question, man, he struggled with his punch and with his hands, then I might – But I haven't heard, aside from the length of him, I don't hear anybody in these draft reports say not real good with his hands.
Right, right.
So mm-hmm. I can win with him at two positions. You know, like we tell a swing tackle. If I can have a guy that can play outside and move inside if I need him to, I got no issue with it. I'm not worried about his length of his arms. If he was a dominant player in a conference that was Division II, and I'm not real sure if he can handle the best athletes in the world outside, well, then maybe. But right now, I'm not worried about it. I think he is a go, and I don't think if you love him, you're going to pass on him.
Is it just me, or does kind of the lock of the draft, like the pick that I see?
The Quentin Nelson of this draft, the guy that you feel can't miss.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But looking at the Raiders, does Christian Gonzalez just not scream a Raider to you? Just he's fast
all
as hell.
All day, every day, yes.
Long. This is just the type of guy they draft every single year in the first round. And
if they hit on one of those defensive guys.
Exactly. I was going to say, it's been a while since we've seen a first round pick like really work. The big tackle from UCLA, I'm blanking on his name. He's been really good. Colton Miller.
He's been a really good player.
He's probably been their only first round pick
right.
for a decade.
And I was even talking about on the other side, right?
Yeah.
It just depends on where you are. Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, they've made a lot of mistakes. But that just seems like the lock of the draft.
Is this a dig because of this? Are you digging on my Raiders because you know I'm a diehard fanatic?
I mean, hey, Jimmy
Go ahead,
G.
Thanks, asshole.
Jimmy
Appreciate
G,
you,
they're going to just sit and have another quarterback.
You're talking about the lock of the draft, the lock of a team that just is going to pick this dude because that's who they are, right?
It's like if Al Davis
was alive, they're picking the wide receiver that can't catch but can run.
Yeah,
right?
and that's
my lock
Quentin
was
Johnson.
Like I'm thinking,
Quentin
yeah,
Johnson.
There you
that's
go.
Him.
My lock of the draft is like when I'm thinking lock, I'm thinking the guy who like a Will Anderson who even if he's average ain't failing in the league.
No,
right?
I'm talking about a team picking this guy.
Of course, and even my dog is sending a loud message howling at the moon. Segs, I'll tell you this. If they do draft him and in 3 years he's on another team, it's going to chap my ass and I'm going to start picking from him from my living room.
If he doesn't work in 3 years, well, Josh McDaniels will be gone, but I would,
yes, he will.
I would be hesitant to take the job because it's just cursed at this point. Doesn't work out because everything there has been bad. And we're talking about teams that could be really bad next year. I think they're going to be a top 10 pick, right around the 10th pick type team. I don't think Jimmy is going to be able to take them and lead them to the playoffs over the Chargers or the Chiefs. And we'll see what happens with Sean Payton and the Broncos. But
they can't be any worse, Segs. I can tell you that. It's about the quarterback position, you wouldn't think, right?
That's a shame, because it just felt like they were finally in that spot where they're going to have to go get one of these quarterbacks. And then they go get Jimmy G, and it just kind of all that momentum just crashes. And I like Jimmy G.
I do too, but I'm not sure that if they're sitting there and they get Richardson or Levis, I'm still not sure they don't draft him, which would be a Raider thing too.
I hope they would, to be honest. If I was a Raider fan, I hope they would take one of those guys and say, you know what? Yeah, Jimmy's here. Yeah, we paid him, but we got to have this guy for the future. And we believe in these guys. They would show me they believe in them, because I don't think they're bad enough to be in the Caleb Williams, Drake May range next year. So that's going to be a problem.
No, they got a lot. They've got a handful of teams to go through to be that bad, including Arizona and three teams from the AFC South.
Yeah. And then real quick, we just saw Jeff Okuda, former number three pick by the Lions, cornerback. He was traded to Atlanta for a fifth round pick. He was just drafted 3 years ago.
I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. I can't believe it, which tells me, I'm just telling you, Segs, what's Detroit, sixth?
Yes, they said it's sixth.
They are drafting a corner.
Yeah,
and they make zero mistake about it.
And they went heavy in free agency at corner, and they still need a corner. That's how bad it was. That's right,
and you can never have enough of those dudes.
Right.
Hey, listen, now, I don't know if they trade up and they want to – if they're sitting there and they think they want another weapon, but to me, and I like what Dan's doing, and I actually right now, if I was a bet man on a futures bet, I would pick them to win the division today.
Yeah,
I'm talking about today.
Agreed.
That being said, because I think they've done a hell of a job, and we know they can score. It all comes down to what Goff's showing up.
If Jared Goff shows up, they're pretty good. I was just going to say that.
If he shows up, man, and plays, then they got a chance. I mean, that guy could – 1 week I'm like, this guy's a Hall of Fame arm, and then the next week I'm like, okay, make the better decision. But they showed me something, and they showed me resilience last year. I can't fathom. Now, maybe they want to keep scoring and get more weapons, but at the six pick segs, it reeks – of a defensive dominator and somebody that can take over and you pencil in and start them. If they stay there, I'll actually be really surprised if it's not a corner yet or somebody on that side of the football. Cause I know they can score. Hell, they can score from the parking lot.
Yeah.
So but think about how Segs, you draft the guy, think he's going to be, and a lot of people thought he was going to be a hell of a player, a fifth round draft pick 3 years later.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's brutal. Yeah. I think they're sitting, they could be that Tyree Wilson team, cause they need that other, you know, stout pass rusher edge guy that can set the edge on the run and do all that opposite of Aiden Hutchinson. He'd be a good pick as well for them. Sean, do you have YouTube TV?
I do.
Oh, you do. So you get a break.
You mean on my smart TV? I do.
Yeah. Yeah, so
you I get a break. Do you think it's expensive enough for you, Segs, to watch all the news next year?
Right. If you have YouTube TV, I guess you're kind of in luck. It will be $349 to watch to get the NFL Sunday
the
ticket.
Former DirecTV package.
Yes,
right.
It is now.
And it's more expensive. It adds like $40 if you add the Red Zone on there as well.
Yes. Yep. You can save $100 if you order it before June 6th. Which seems like a very arbitrary date, but June 6th, if you order it before, it's $249.
If you don't have any of them, Segs, isn't it up near $500, like $489 or something?
$489 if you don't have YouTube TV and you want Red Zone with it. So almost $500, $389 if you order it before June 6th. $449 if you don't have YouTube TV and you just want all the games and not Red Zone. So
you know what we're gonna do, Segs?
Everybody was hoping that it was gonna be cheaper. Everybody was hoping
they
were gonna get
I mean, YouTube's gonna print money. Gonna pay for it when all is said and done. But at some point, like everything, when there's more of it, eventually you start to call up saying, I'm not doing okay, $60 off if you'll order before midnight tonight or whatever reduce the price.
Right? Hell, I've had Sunday ticket for close to a decade. When I was right before I moved to Texas, and then the whole time I was in Texas and with DirecTV. And I think I paid for 3 years of Sunday ticket. That's it. Every year I'd call and just be like, all right, I'm out. I'm gonna cut the cable.
No, here, check this out.
Here's Sunday ticket for you,
right?
For free and Red Zone and everything. And
we are rewarding you for being a Sunday ticket guy.
Yes. Yes. Right. So, I mean, hopefully YouTube TV gets to that, but yeah, be ready to pay. The other issue that I've seen people have is they don't have the single team options, where that was the talk that they were going to have, where if you live in Texas and you're a Bears fan, you could just order the Bears games every week. And they did not come out with that.
I don't understand why they wouldn't do that. It seems so logical, and it seems an extra way. It's like Seg's making that, and then there's like that roster bonus, right? You know,
yeah,
they got all these bonuses and all this base salary and guaranteed money. Oh, by the way, if you show up for 80% of the workouts in the offseason, I'm giving you an extra workout bonus, right?
Yes.
Or you make the roster bonus. It's the same way with this. It's like, okay, you want the whole thing, we'll take the big package. But if you don't and you're not going to join it at all, then – For a $119, you can, whatever it is,
right?
You know, $119, you can watch your team play with no blackout the whole time, all the way through, regardless. You get my point?
Yeah.
And although the blackouts become another whole issue, which is,
oh, that's
aren't we past that in 2023? Neither here nor there. Bottom line is that you're going to get okie doked by YouTube, because you know what? They're in a position, Segs, to do it. They get to corner the market on this because DirecTV is not coming back.
I'm shocked that the NFL did not create their own streaming.
Right.
Or just come out like MLB and NBA. They just have their own. The league owns their streaming packages.
Why wouldn't NFL Network?
Yeah.
Why, drop $1 billion dollars or whatever it is. And you don't, I mean, it's your money.
You know how much money you're going to make?
Right.
Why have a middleman is what I'm asking, I guess. Why have that YouTube TV middleman instead of just like on my smart TV, I just have the MLB app and then it's got MLB TV right there and I can watch all the games.
And then NFL likes money.
Yeah.
That Shield makes a lot of money. I don't know why you wouldn't corner that market. And now you've got a monopoly on every damn thing you want.
Oh, gosh. They would run.
It would surprise me. But somehow, some way, as we know, the NFL and YouTube are going to work in cahoots where the NFL is going to make a real nice cut of this. And you and I both know.
Yeah.
Or I also thought the NFL would say, listen, if we're going into business with you, our customers are important. We got to go in and we got to make it reasonable for a family like me. When I was growing up, my dad wouldn't have been able to pay. Say,
no,
I
mean, yeah,
you and I come from a similar, but how on the way back in there, how in the world were my family going to pay? Hell, $300 to pay for that. That's money in pocket. That's 3 weeks worth of groceries. And there are families that still in this day and age that live there. And I
100%
that love football.
Yeah. Majority of this country,
the fans. That's exactly right. No question
so,
about it.
Yeah. I'm shocked at the prices. I thought they would be much lower. I think they were lower on DirecTV. If I remember correctly,
I think it was
$299,
$200s, right?
Or $279 for the whole
$79
season.
Sticks out to me. And then if you had it before, there was always a little coupon bonus or whatever it was. No doubt, agreed.
I cannot believe they left DirecTV and then they raised the prices. Like,
well,
that's
then are they
going
to make it where you can, instead of just, you know, like DirecTV would allow you to make 3 payments? Are they going to spread it out where somebody can make 12 payments?
Hopefully, I'm going to have to look at that.
Right, where they're $69 a month as opposed to 3 payments at $250 or $49 a month.
Right.
You can spread out like you would a doggone car payment.
Right.
Because damn.
Yeah, people dropping $350 or $400 on just a football package, I wouldn't do it.
Especially since a lot of people that watch love one team.
Exactly.
A lot of them, right, Seg? So, yeah, you're
exactly.
They got to make it worthwhile. But those initial prices gave everybody the old wow factor. That's for damn sure.
Definitely. No, definitely. All right. That'll do it for this episode of the Sean Salisbury Show. It was a fun one. We're brought to you by Bet Online. Thanks to Believe. NFL draft, it's coming quick.
Yeah.
I still say it's going to be
Young and
Stroud. That in that order.
I don't think movement starts till pick 3, Segs, and that's we'll talk about this ad nauseum the next 2.5 to 16 days, like you said, whatever it is. And we got a lot of baseball to talk because I'm curious. Hey. Maybe on Friday, Segs, we pump out another one this Friday because I'm curious, real quick, to ask you about the ball, the way it's flying. Do you think that pitchers are, I don't want to say hurried, but kind of hurried to the point where they're throwing pitches where guys can drive more? Just a lot of stuff going on. And Ohtani, you can't hit a ball on the inner half of the plate to left center for a home run. And he did. So we'll talk about early season starts and what you see with your team in Chicago and here in the Astros as well, Segs.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, we will talk to you guys later this week. See ya.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.